When foreign people are asked about things they associate with Scotland, the most common answers are Edinburgh Castle, tartan, Celts, and of course, whisky. Whisky, literally translated from Gaelic to English, means water of life. And in the Western Isles, men love nothing more after a hard day's work than a glass or two of whisky. But during World War II, whisky production ground to a halt, with many distilleries closing. Pre-World War II, 10.7 million gallons had been produced, but this reduced to 3.2 million by 1941, and by 1945, almost all whisky produced was being exported to the USA to pay for the war effort. And with the sky-high prices for the hard-to-get remaining bottles of whisky, the islanders could only dream about what life was like before the war and a bountiful supply of whisky. But their dreams came true on the 5th of February 1941 when a ship bound for America crashed into the rocks off the Isle of Eriskay. The ship contained over 250,000 bottles of whisky. This is a true story of whisky galore. Hi and welcome back to another episode of the Historical Crimes and Criminals podcast. I'm Steve, your host. Eriskay is an island in the Outer Hebrides. It lies between South Uist and Barra. And the name Eriskay comes from the Old Norse language, meaning Eric's Isle. It was an island of crofts and fishermen. Crofting is a form of land tenure and small-scale food production, but it was a hard way of life with days spent in the wet, windy, cold fields tending cattle. There were few comforts in this way of life, which meant the additional loss of whisky was almost unbearable to some. The SS politician was completed in 1923, and originally called London Merchant. Registered to carry 7,899 tons, she was 450 feet long. She was a general cargo ship that traded between Britain, the US and Canada. By the Second World War, the politician was participating in Atlantic convoys between the UK and the US. And so, on the 5th of February, 1941, SS politician left the Liverpool docks to travel to the north of Scotland, where she was to assemble with other ships to be convoyed across the Atlantic to the US and Caribbean. The ship's captain was Beaconsfield Worthington, and he oversaw a crew of 51. The ship carried a mixed cargo that included cotton, machetes, sweets, cutlery, bicycles, cigarettes, and biscuits. But in the fifth hold, there were 8 crates of Jamaican banknotes comprising 10 shilling, 1 and 5 pound notes to the value of £3 million. Alongside it was 22,000 cases, or 264,000 bottles of Scotch whisky of various brands. The whisky had been taken from bonded warehouses in Leith and Glasgow that had been damaged by German bombing and was being shipped to the US to raise hard currency for the war effort. As an export product, none of the bottles bore an excise stamp. After passing the Isle of Man, the weather had worsened, and the winds had risen to gale force, and the ship's captain changed course as a result. This was an unwanted distraction and difficulty for a crew anticipating a winter crossing of a U-boat infested Atlantic. And then things got considerably worse. As the winds drove the SS politician further off course, at 7:40 a.m, a lookout glimpsed land. In desperation, the ship swung away, only to flounder on the unseen sandbanks off Rosninish Point and the Isle of Eriskay. Worthington attempted to free the politician, but she would not move. And some rocks had breached the hull, and water began to flood the engine room and stokehold and break the vessel's propeller shaft. Worthington was concerned the heavy waves would soon break up the ship, and he ordered the crew to abandon ship. The radio operator sent two SOS messages. The first was, abandoning ship, making water, engine room flooded. The second, sent at 8:22 a.m, stated the vessel was positioned ashore south of Barra Island, pounding heavily. One lifeboat was launched with 26 men on board. It was washed onto rocks close inshore to Ruda Dub, an outcrop on South Uist. All survived, although one man was injured on the rocks. A lifeboat from Barra spent several hours searching the area south of the island in heavy mist before a report came in of the politician's siren, which had been heard north of Eriskay. The lifeboat travelled to the area, by which time fishermen from Eriskay had boarded the politician. At Worthington's request, they sailed to Ruda Dub, collected those who had left earlier, and returned to the ship. The lifeboat then reached the politician about 4 p.m, when the politician's crew boarded the lifeboat and were taken to Eriskay. They spent the night there, billeted in small groups in the homes of the islanders. When asked what their cargo was, the sailors told the islanders that the politician's cargo contained, amongst other items, whiskey. The following morning, on the 6th of February, Worthington and his first mate were taken back to the politician to view the damage and see if there was any chance of salvaging her. He found that someone had been on board overnight, as personal possessions of the crew were missing. A salvage operation was called by Worthington, and although discussions of leaving a guard on board were considered, it was quickly dismissed due to the risk of the loss of life should the ship break up due to the weather. The chief salvage officer, Commander Kay, arrived at the stricken vessel on the 8th of February and reported back that a salvage attempt was possible. Within days, the salvage ship Ranger had arrived and 500 tons of cargo were removed. But as Hold 5 was below the surface and fuller of a mixture of seawater and oil, Kay did not attempt to salvage its contents, despite the worth of the banknotes and the whiskey. The salvage team then left the politician to the elements. But the islanders had other thoughts about the whiskey, and when their crofting day's work was done, they now had a new evening hobby. Like a plague of locusts, they would descend upon the ship and plunder as much of the goods as they could in what they knew could be a short space of time before the sea reclaimed the ship. They also knew they were breaking the law, and they hid their bounty in a variety of hiding places across the islands, including rabbit holes, piles of peat, creels placed under the sea, and behind panels in homes. The law they were breaking came under the Protection of Merchant Shipping Act 1894, Part 9, Paragraph 536 of the Act, covered, interfering with wrecked vessels or wrecks, and amongst others stated that a person shall not wrongfully carry away or remove any part of a vessel stranded in danger of being stranded or otherwise in distress on or near any coast or tidal water or any part of the cargo thereof of the wreck. The islanders, however, took a different view of the salvage, and they considered that they did not steal any cargo from any wrecks, but instead they were saving or rescuing it from the sea. They knew the politician had been abandoned by the owners and the salvage crews. One islander later said, "When the salvers quit a ship, she's ours." And other islanders came from all across the Hebrides, as well as boats from Scotland's western coast, engaging in what journalists were now calling the wholesale rescuing of the whisky. The islanders worked on hooking the crates out of the oil and seawater filled hold, and every night between 20 and 50 men were on the wreck, working to remove the whisky. As the contents being raised were covered in oil, the men's clothes were soon covered, and many men began to use their wife's dresses to cover their own clothes. Some of the men only made a few trips to the politician to get what they wanted. One local Eriskay crofter obtained 300 cases or over 3,000 bottles. Others picked up between 20 and 80 cases a night. And one man with a larger boat is thought to have recovered more than 1,000 cases. Burying caches of whisky was also popular, but brought a second problem. Islanders who had not visited the wreck would watch where it was buried and dig it up as soon as the men left the burial site. News of the islanders' removal of the whisky from the politician was known early on, and the local customs and excise officer, Charles McCall, commandeered a local boat on the 15th of March, and with the aid of Donald Mackenzie, a local constable, went out into the Eriskay Sound, the stretch of water between Eriskay and South Uist, and intercepted two boats laden with cases of whisky. On landing, McCall walked along the coast and intercepted a third boat unloading whisky. Details of all the men were taken down from the day's efforts. And 2 days later, McCall and Mackenzie conducted searches of the crofts of those they had intercepted. They seized items from the politician, but no whisky. Surmising that the whisky had been well hidden, he expanded his search, and on his own, searched other local crofts, but still found no whisky. His initial searches lasted until the 22nd of March, when he thought the sea was too rough for the looters to visit the wreck, but they still did. By April 1941, the ship's owners had second thoughts about salvaging the whisky, and the salvage ship assistants returned to the politician on the 21st of April. The salvage operation they conducted took several months and included divers descending into Hold 5 to clear the cargo. They removed 13,500 cases of whisky from the wreck. On trying to refloat the boat, they eventually beached it and broke its back, and ultimately McCall was granted permission to blow up the hull of the boat in order to destroy its contents. The islanders watched this extraordinary action, with islander Angus John Campbell perhaps summing up the view of most. "Dynamiting whisky? You wouldn't think there'd be men in the world so crazy as that." The first court cases took place on the 26th of April. They involved four men arrested on Barra 3 days earlier, when the police saw them unloading whisky in barrels of oil. Three of the men were fined £3 each. The other two had to pay £5. McCall applied pressure on the legal authorities, directly and through their superiors. McCall argued that the looters should be tried under the terms of the Specialist Customs Consolidation Act 1876 or the Merchant Shipping Act 1894. They both carried more punitive punishments than the ordinary legislation for theft. McCall accused the looters of vandalism against the politician and the widespread black marketeering of the stolen whiskey, and claimed the local police were being bribed to ignore the situation. McCall continued on his crusade to find the whiskey. On the 5th of June, he persuaded Edward Botham White, the customs officer based at Harris, to assist them. They were also provided with two police sergeants from the mainland to assist them. Villages were raided and crofts overturned, but the bottles were too well hidden, secreted, or simply drunk to hide the evidence. And thanks to the island's small size and rudimentary telephone system, the islanders were usually two steps ahead. On the 6th and 7th of June, they conducted intensive searches on crofts and farms. And the searches destroyed peat stacks, forced entries into people's homes, and disrupted the innocent and guilty alike. An unnecessary, disproportionately harsh treatment, it was said. And if the net was closing in, the islanders got a lucky break. Due to the deeply religious beliefs in that part of the world, the police did not work on Sunday the 8th, and the locals spent time hiding, moving goods to better locations, including previously searched places, and they just waited for a resumption of the raids the following week. But they got even luckier. A storm blew up on Monday the 9th, so the mail boat could not carry McCall and his colleagues across, and by Tuesday the policemen had returned to the mainland to resume their normal duties. Between the 10th and the 13th of June, trials took place of 32 men in total arrested for theft from the politician. McCall gave evidence and stated that the men had stolen whiskey from a vessel that was still seaworthy. And the sheriff substitute hearing the case accepted McCall's statement. One man was found not guilty, 9 others not proven, a Scottish legal verdict that acquits an individual but does not declare them innocent. 3 were fined and 19 were incarcerated at Inverness Prison for terms ranging between 20 days and 2 months. McCall still thought these sentences were too lenient and wrote to the Procurator Fiscal to complain. He also wrote to customs commissioners and said, "In my opinion, these small sentences are inadequate to act as a general deterrent to the population of these islands, who, in my opinion, will probably seize their next opportunity to further loot and damage." The night the prison sentences were handed down, a hole was made in the roof of the shared garage where McCall's car was parked. Paraffin was poured in and set alight. As for the Jamaican currency, by June 1941, 4 months after the SS politician's demise, branches of Barclays and the Midland Banks in Liverpool began to report the presentation of water-damaged Jamaican 10-shilling notes. And by 1943, the notes had turned up in Liverpool, Stoke, and the north of Scotland. Because of the loss of the Jamaican notes and the number that were being cashed in banks, from the 1st of July 1952, the blue 10-shilling notes were no longer accepted as legal tender. They were replaced by notes of the same design but printed in a purple and a light orange background. In 1958, when Crown agents made a final tally, of the 290,000 notes, 211,267 had been recovered, 2,329 had been presented in banks all over the world, including the US, Switzerland, Ireland, Malta, and of course, Jamaica. The war continued for another 4 years, but it's fair to say that many people on the islands stayed a wee bit merrier for those years on what the islanders called the Water of Life. And for those islanders, stories of whiskey galore never ended. One islander later told the story that he had hidden 46 cases, or over 500 bottles of whiskey, in a small cave in an island off Barra as a reserve for when he ran out. When he later returned, only 4 cases were left. And the original bottles are a sought-after prize. In 1987, a local diver found 8 bottles of whiskey in the wreck, with 2 of these being sold for just over $12,000 at auction. And years later, bottles are still turning up. Donald John Rogers, who captains the Eriskay to Barra ferry, is one of many islanders who have discovered a secret stash. Quote, "I was digging a path from the house down to the shore. I felt some glass and thought, here's something funny here. I cleared it away and found 6 bottles there lying in a row." Mr. Rogers reckons there's plenty more whiskey still to be found. The story of the SS politician was used by the author Compton Mackenzie for his 1947 book Whiskey Galore. And then, in 1949, it was made into an Elan comedy, Whiskey Galore, which made the story world famous. Well, that's it for another episode of the Historical Crimes and Criminals podcast. I hope you enjoyed that one. And if you did, please subscribe, leave a review, and follow me on Twitter, where you can see some pictures from today's story. And until next time, bye-bye.